Hello everyone and welcome back to the Fun Indian Guy podcast. This is the second guest of this year, Siley, one more time. Though it might not come out in that same order because we might have other guests in between. So I'm not sure when I'm going to post this.
Let's see.
But we have another Siley again on the channel. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about Harry Potter and it and his or the influence of Harry Potter on
the Wizarding World.
Very obvious. These products you can buy on our website.
Yeah, sure.
Product integration, which doesn't exist. So in this episode, we're going to talk about Harry Potter and the influence of Harry Potter on our lives in terms of career as well as we're going to dive into different topics. So Siley, tell us more about yourself, what you do and where do you come from and all those things.
Okay, so hi, I'm Siley Thakur. So I am from a small town in Mumbai called Vasai.
So it's not small.
It
I come from Dapoli.
Small.
It's smaller than...
Okay, we can debate about that later. So, okay, so I am from Vasai. So I have done like my graphic design course from MIT in Pune. And now I am in Milan and I just completed like my master's program in visual brand design. And now I am working, like I'm technically doing my internship here in Milan.
Yeah, so one more designer on the podcast. Looks like I have to make different friends apart from the design. Because most of the times
it's
designer.
You are a part of the community.
Yes.
We are your community.
Yes. Finally, they accepted me after doing it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm not going to say that we're going to roll the intro, which I actually said. But I was told by one of the listener or a viewer that I say, let's roll the intro and get into it almost in every episode. So I'm not going to say that, though I said it like three times or four times.
Yes.
So we're going to play the intro now.
So different. Oh my God. How did you come up with this?
I don't know how to... I really don't know how to go into the intro part and then... So intro is going to be playing now.
Hi, I'm Suyog, also known as the Fun Indian Guy. I'm a designer, musician, filmmaker, and a mechanical engineer. I'm from India, and currently I'm chilling around, traveling around, working around, roaming around, having fun around Europe, and this is my podcast.
The Fun Indian Guy Podcast.
So, Siley, let's start from the beginning.
Yes.
When did Harry Potter come in your life? In my life, he came quite later because I come from a small town and that time there was no online streaming and stuff. So I think I remember I got the CD from the regional CD library.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first book which I read was in Marathi, which was not even the official translation. The guy, I guess, got, what do you call it? They filed a complaint against him afterwards because he didn't officially translate it.
Did you start from the first book or
did
you like...
But in Marathi.
Okay, that is Pashana interesting. Hogari.
Anyway, so...
Okay.
You
yes,
tell us about
so,
that.
Okay, so I remember like my first, like the earliest encounter I had with Harry Potter was like when my parents took me to the first movie, which released I think in like 2001 or something.
Yeah. 8 years.
So,
I was 8 years old.
Yes, and like somebody, like one of my dad's friend had recommended him, you know, like Siley seems to be like the creative and she's into movies and these fun things. So maybe you should take her to see this boy wizard movie. And I had absolutely no idea about it. And then I saw the movie in the theater for the first time, like the Sorcerer's Stone in India. And it was like, I remember being like completely blown by that movie.
Yeah.
And like, so basically back then I had no idea that it was based on books or anything. I just remember I really loved the movie. And then later on, I asked my parents, after a couple of years, I asked my parents that, hey, I want to watch that movie again.
Mm-hmm.
And so my dad went to again one of these DVD stores. And then he got me he asked for Harry Potter movie. And then they gave him the third part, The Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah.
And I remember watching that movie and I was like, this is not the same thing. This is something else. And then later on, I realized that, okay, apparently...
So you saw... First part and the
third part,
not the second.
No. And I had absolutely no idea that it was based on books or anything because I was like pretty, like not young. I would say I was pretty naive back then.
Yeah.
But then I realized that, okay, this is different. Something is missing. Then I found out, okay, there are these books and there are the movies are based on the books. And then I thought, okay, then I saw the first movie again. Then I went and saw the second one, and then I saw the third one again. And after the third movie, I think I started reading the books.
Okay. So you are one of those people who saw the movie first and then the books.
Yeah.
So it, I think it impacted your also the visualization when you read.
Yes, a lot. Because like, because I had already seen like the first three movies, so the characters like Harry is... Even when I was reading it, it was always, I imagined Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah.
And even like, so, because, and I would also, I also think that the, like the casting was perfect. Like it was on spot and it was like creepily on spot on how the characters literally grew into like come on, like if you know, like Neville Longbottom, he looked like all this chubby person, and now if you see him, like my god, Matthew is so hot, and like he literally transformed, like it was like his destiny to be Longbottom.
Yeah.
And you can say like that about like almost all of the characters.
So then from which point did you start claiming yourself to be a Potterhead?
That is a difficult.
And how do you define yourself as a Potterhead? Like when you read the movie and you are into it, or when do you call yourself like?
Okay, so like in let's say like in if you ask like a very true, like all those like a very dedicated Potterhead, then you're supposed to be watching the movie. Okay, fine. I'm proud of to be a part of the fandom. But yeah, definitely I would say like if you have to be a true Harry Potter fan, a true Potterhead, then you need to have seen the read all the books. And also seen all the movies. And Cursed Child is an exception. It's fine. Like I do not count it as a part of the series.
Mm-hmm.
Because I personally did not like it. But yeah.
And then you can call yourself if you're into it completely even after watching it.
Yes. And also... okay. So I... like a lot of other people also have probably went to the same kind of a thing. Like they read the books or like they read the... See the movies and see, read the books later or something like that. And then later on, like I read through a lot of fan fiction,
mm-hmm.
and like Tumblr has fan art and everything. And also I was like super interested in like the entire making of the film and like the casting and the special effects. And also like basically the design part of it was something which really attracted me to it as well.
Yeah. So that's the direction we're going to go from here onwards. Like that's my question to you is like, as you are into communication, all the types of design and graphic design and all those things, how did it kind of impacted your design skills? Because these movies were present in our lives since the beginning, like from the childhood. So they are passively impacting the way we think, the way we look at things, the way we kind of generate or develop the, not ergonomics, but like, how do you, like, because of watching these movies, indirectly you are more concerned about the looks of the things and the, how they appear to be. So how did it shape, let's say, your graphic skills or your design skills?
I would say, okay, like one of the major impacts I would say which it had is like I was already interested in like, you know, making illustrations and everything. So, and like the entire like the look and feel, like especially like the printed print mediums of in the used in the movie, was like, I really used to like it a lot because it had that entire, you know, like the 20s vibe to it, and the kind of illustrations they used to make, and it was like super colorful, like the, because obviously it's a kids movie, so the illustrations were like super vibrant and everything. And even when the movie started getting progressively darker, the graphic elements kind of reflected, but at the same time there is still like a fun element to it.
So I also
read up on the graphic design agency which does it. So Mina Lima, the House of Mina Lima, is the graphic design agency which basically has been creating all the graphic and the visual elements you see throughout the movies.
From part 1 to part
7.2. Yes, it's the same. So another thing, like from the couple of interviews I've read about them and stuff like that. So like it's really interesting, their design process and how they actually imagined what that world would look like.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it was super interesting to me. So basically, like those designers were saying that in general, if you're familiar with the Wizarding World, you would know that like in terms of technology, like the Wizarding World is supposed to be a little, little behind from the Muggle world. So they seem to be like still stuck in the old days because they are not up to date with the technology, and the same
right.
thing was reflected in their sense of like visuals, their sense of fashion in mm-hmm. general as well. So if you see most of the design elements, they are very much inspired from like the 20s
mm-hmm.
Graphic design and 20s, even the typography and everything is super like very much relevant from the 50s and the 50 from the 20s to 50s. So
yeah.
they wanted to kind of portray it that, you know, like there is like the Wizarding World and the Muggle World
mm.
in terms of designs and technologies are a bit shifted.
Yeah.
And it's, I would say, like it's very perfectly reflected in their designs as
yeah.
well. Yeah.
Yeah, because yeah, it's fun to see that how an imagination of a person who starts writing about it and
yes.
then becomes a big chain reaction and develops into a really huge universe.
Yes, exactly. And like, again, that is like the one of the most interesting things about the Harry Potter universe is that you are free to imagine whatever you want. Like the amount of fan fiction you have online, and even like, especially after they wrote the Cursed Child play,
mm-hmm.
like she really emphasizes on the fact that, you know, it's your universe.
Yeah.
You can imagine it the way you want. So like, again, if you see now there are the illustrated editions
mm-hmm.
of Harry Potter.
Yeah, the books.
The ones which Jim Kay is illustrating. That is like very different from what you would see in the movies
mm-hmm.
in general, because so he had his own way of illustrating it, and yeah, like so basically Jim Kay has this company called Creepy Crawlies, I think, something like
that's
that
the name.
Yes.
Very
because
nice.
he has a background in like, you know, like all those like biological illustrations and stuff, so he was really interested ever since he was a kid. He was super interested in making those like sketching out these tiny insects and animals, and if you see his illustrations, it is so much reflected in it.
Yeah.
And so he adds like this tremendous amount of details to it, and like if you read the books with his illustrations, it still makes sense because
right.
that entire world is like so open to interpretation, so
yeah.
that is a great thing. It's like,
yeah, but at the same time, to make it believable is like, no, I'm not talking about the illustrations, I'm talking about though the whole world is kind of entirely imagined, but
yes.
still makes sense when you listen to it, or it
yes,
always falls
yes.
in place. There are no mental controversies like, in part one this happens but this doesn't make
yeah.
any sense anymore. But that usually doesn't happen with Harry Potter. Everything
yes.
feels like
it
could exist.
Yes, because and I think like that is like one of the very, very key elements in like world building in
mm-hmm.
general. So if you like whenever
world,
we,
I like the term.
No, it is an
yeah,
actual
yeah.
term. So
world
basically
building.
Like even if you say like a Star Wars universe or like
yeah.
the Lord of the Rings universe, it's like one of those major rules of world building that if you want your world to be believable, it needs to fit very, very like smoothly in the real world
mm-hmm.
because that is when people will like accept it
yeah.
more.
Relatable.
So, yeah, and then that is something if you're like, you can see even in the sound design of the Harry Potter movies. So like, this is again something which I read so in their sound design,
mm-hmm.
they like, okay, so like basic, like the music and everything is fantastic. That's fine. But then
yeah.
their key challenge in the Harry Potter movies was like, how do the spells
yeah, yeah.
sound like? And like first, like, you know, like they first thought they were just like thinking about how it could smell sound
like.
So they didn't want it to sound like super electronic or like
yeah, yeah.
out of touch, because you know it's supposed to be this really organic
yeah, or, yeah, yeah.
ancient magic. So they decided to use only natural sounds familiar. So all the sounds are like either they are related to like a lighting of fire or like
yeah.
thunder, or even like the Patronus charm is
yeah.
the there's a choir.
Okay.
So
like it goes
yes.
on for long. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so all the, if you notice, the sounds are like super organic, and
yeah.
they were very specific on not to use any kind of an electronic,
yeah.
into the Star Wars saber things at all. So again, I think that is something which makes it like super more believable in
yeah.
general.
Because I also saw one of the videos where they were designing the sound of
yes.
the sword, and then they were like, from part one and two they used a different thing, and then part three was darker, so they then
yes.
turned the
oh,
sounds
yes,
a
yes,
bit
yes.
different, little
yes,
firecrackers
was,
and all.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So so third movie is probably like my most of them, and it is a very popular movie as
yeah.
well,
yeah.
and I consider it to be like my favorite Harry Potter movies, because I would give like a lot of credit to the director Alfonso
yeah.
Cuarón. And like he, like Alfonso Cuarón is a director who focuses a lot on the sound.
Yeah.
So even like the music, I would say that that the third Harry Potter
the
movie.
Sound
yeah,
that was the sound of the window.
somebody casting a spell. Anyway, I think we are just giving you demonstrations on how the spells sound.
It's all real.
Yes, believe. Okay, anyway, so yeah, going back to Alfonso Cuarón. So he's the kind of director who focuses a lot on like the sound design, and throughout like in most of his movies you will see like the sound plays a very key role in it. And even if you see like even the like the tonal voice of that film is so different from
mm-hmm.
all the other movies. It's like the way the camera work moves, and even like the some of the characters.
Yeah.
Like I personally think that Harry Potter looks the most like Harry Potter in that movie
yeah.
with his like hair sticking out and everything. So like again, like it's really well made. I really like that movie
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah, sound plays a very important role in such films.
Yes.
And I remember one thing once when I came in the beginning when I was in Milan and I was
mm-hmm.
walking through these buildings, though it's like the closest you can get to the kind of styles and buildings which
mm-hmm.
are Western,
oh,
which
yes,
you see
yes,
in the
yes,
movie
yes.
and you come for the first time
oh,
outside
yes.
and though they're not, of course, the UK architecture
mm-hmm.
is way different than the architecture
but
in Milan,
like,
you
European.
Get the feel. Yeah, so
yeah.
that day, like one of those days back in 2016, I suppose, I put like the Harry Potter theme
oh, okay.
in my headphones and I was just walking in the lanes of Milan. It felt really good. Like
Hedwig
it was really
mm-hmm.
amazing experience. So from there, like it's just like having a mythology, right? From Indian culture, we are told
mm-hmm.
a lot of stories from the from Ramayana, Mahabharata.
Mm-hmm.
story of Krishna's and everything
mm-hmm.
and it always stays with you, like maybe your grandparents recited to you, your
yes.
parents there
mm-hmm.
and just like that, Harry Potter has also a train which goes with us throughout our childhood
yes.
days, especially
yes.
our generation, because it
yes.
kind of happened then. So I think it has given us a lot of things passively, like a lot of possibilities, because in the beginning it's all about like a surprise and wow, this
mm-hmm.
happens, magic and everything, you're very awestruck. And then you follow, and then you grow up on the side.
Yeah.
And then you know that it's a fiction and everything. And then you start looking at it in a completely different way.
Yes.
So I think it has given us a lot. And that's going to be my next question to you. Like,
yeah.
do you think because of this, of course, it's going to be a very specific question. And then you have to really think about
mm-hmm.
how it happened or
mm-hmm.
how it affected. But do you think it of like the whole Harry Potter, let's say
the world
has affected us now to let us think that there is no limit to your thinking and on, like, it's a very abrupt question, though it's on very thought process level question
mm-hmm.
that you could think about different things and they could happen. I'm not saying that you have a wand and
okay,
things
okay.
are magically
yeah.
happening, but understanding the fact that you can imagine about a story and you can create the whole universe
yes.
Also personally has I can give you one example about it, like thinking that these possibilities could exist also in terms of using technologies to do things.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Jarvis from Iron Man.
Yes.
You see Jarvis is there and now we are having Alexas and all those
mm-hmm.
things like Siri and everything. So it's
hmm.
coming to reality
even
in one sense.
Even the invisibility
yeah.
cloak. Like I don't remember one of the armies in the world, they have developed like this kind of a technology which has
yeah.
like it kind of is exactly like the invisibility cloak from
yeah.
Harry Potter. So yeah, I guess like fiction plays a very strong role in like inspiring
yeah,
the
inspiring,
technology
yes.
and also like again like if you see like all the like most or like a lot of the latest technology and everything is like I think there are like some references to it in like the super old episodes of like Star Trek or like
yeah.
Star Wars, even like the
yeah.
interaction, and also like that a lot of people take inspiration from that and then like
yeah.
they want to develop like the real technology through
yeah.
it.
So yeah. I think it could also, we can call it like a source of inspiration, because when you create such stories, you don't you are not really constrained by the world around you. You are not
yes.
gonna be like, this is not gonna be used by this user has
yes.
no, and then you just go limitless and come up with such crazy ideas that
mm.
might be in future. For example, if we create a story right now which is going to be very crazy, no limits, and we create this world, maybe after 10 or 20 years, people who refer to that story can come up with new inspirations
yes.
inspired from that story to do real things in the real world, because
mm-hmm.
technology can keep up by then. So that's a different way to look at it. And like,
yes, I mean, it definitely like these movies and these books, which are like very much based on this like imaginative world
yeah.
in the distant future. I think maybe not like 100%, but I'm pretty sure we can come like very close to
yeah.
it, because like if you in the creative industry and in general the world, like we need to keep on thinking about new ideas and creative solutions to different problems. And if you keep on looking at super practical things, maybe we kind of put a restriction in our mind, okay, maybe this is not possible. But books like these, and if you have been reading them since you were a kid, it definitely opens up your mind to maybe something like that could happen.
Yeah.
And I feel like imagination is a very important thing in the human race.
Yeah, exactly.
In general.
Reading in my Gita, it's imagination is the only power which we have got, through which we have created even the idea of God.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, imagination is probably the strongest thing humans have.
Yeah.
That is what sets us
apart from all the
animals.
Right.
Because we have the power to think of something which doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And then that is how it just starts from an idea.
Yeah. It's the thought is so interesting that you can really set up sessions now, because we live in a world of design and we do design sprints to come up with different solutions and everything. But you can really set up such exercise or assignment where you just go full crazy with it and you just narrate a story out of without binding it into some limits, which is fiction now, but can soon be turned into reality down the line.
Yes, this
that's
reminds
a really interesting
idea. This
reminds
me of a quote from Alice in Wonderland. Mm-hmm. She says that every morning I imagine of six impossible things. I believe in six impossible things before breakfast.
Yeah.
Something like that. I mean, that is such a nice way to start your day with. I mean, it could be something super practical. It could be something completely I can fly tomorrow, something like that. I mean, it's a very powerful thing to imagine and believe in it.
Yeah. And from the childhood perspective, when you show such stories to kids, it's also easier for them to go into creativity world and think about crazy ideas.
Yes.
For example, when Ronald's mom is sending them letter and it's a kind of audio note.
Yes, it is an audio note. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so when audio note comes out, it's very obvious for us because it's not surprising us anymore, but it becomes natural somehow.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think about some concepts which are in Harry Potter top of my head.
Yeah, I mean, let me think. Invisibility cloak is something I already mentioned.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe
teleporting or something, maybe it happens at some point.
Yeah, then even the map could be, if you think about it, there's a possibility if you have location trackers on everybody in the
entire
location.
And that's possible now.
That is possible. So
yeah.
I think a lot of things are possible.
Yeah, so that's also a good way to look at when you create stories for kids, it's also their culture, how they're gonna be brought up, giving them some powers of thinking. And also reflecting when you are grown up on this and trying to make sense of it.
Keep some part of it with you whenever you so Harry Potter in general, if you reread the books right now, you'll get so much more, and there are these tiny details in it which you probably missed out earlier, and then now you reread them it's amazing. There is this one quote from Dumbledore. I think it's in the in the first, second, I think earlier books, it says something on the lines of people find it easier to forgive. No, I think it's in the sixth book. Yeah. People find it easier to forgive people when they are wrong, but not when they are right. So it's easier for people to forgive others if they're wrong and more than they're right. So back then it didn't really make sense. It was what does it mean? But now you think about it, it is it makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
So there are these really tiny things, and I would things which has definitely impacted me in my life, the way I think and the way I look at people, and I feel I'm much more compassionate. I have a lot more empathy, and I try to be more accepting. In general, and I would say a lot of it has to do with the fact that I read those books and I grew up with them.
Yeah.
And also the books, if you see there is a very strong theme of feminism in it, Quidditch.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a really normal thing in the wizarding world that they don't have separate teams where girls and boys are playing together. Quidditch is
Look at it that way. Right. That's
and
a good observation.
There is an all girls team called the Holy Head Harpies and stuff that. So it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of a responsibility of the author in the first place.
Yes, exactly.
If he or she has a really sane values, then I think the product or the output is also based on good values.
Yes. I mean, like, that's... Like, again, I would say that if it... like, I would definitely want my kids to grow up with those books because... I mean, I think you'll definitely grow up to be nice people. I mean, that is the most important thing in this world right now. Just to be, like, nice.
That's true. So, if you have opportunity to create such story right now, will you be willing to do it? And if you do it, then which part of the process you will enjoy more? Will you enjoy making characters? Or will you enjoy making the whole look and feel? Or will you enjoy making maybe on conceptual level?
Oh, I think, okay, I would enjoy on conceptual level because, like, I'm not that great at writing. So, like, definitely conceptual level and also creating, like, the look and feel of the entire thing.
Yeah.
Because then, like, I mean, like, so much, like I said, like, Meena Lima, they put, like, so much research into trying to understand, like, the, like, you know, how the world would function. And again, like, giving a thought that, okay, there is a kind of a riff between the two things. And also, like, Meena Lima... like they also reflect the copy in the book, like there's like stupid puns, but again they have that like a fun vibe, like the you know poo and everything, so it's funny, and also like the design reflects it. So, and I mean, it would be a great opportunity to conceptualize a world from scratch and then have like the complete liberty to design the whole look and feel of it as well.
Nice. I hope you get some sort of project which lets you do that.
I mean, even if I get to work with Meena Lima, like, even for a month, if they just let me, like, stalk them around while they're going through that process, or even Jim K, I mean, it would be amazing.
Yeah, I think it's quite possible if you really want it.
Yeah, I mean, I will try. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, because there's other field which I did not know about in the beginning. You know Pranam Mistry, the guy who made Sixth Sense in 2009-ish?
Oh, yeah, that was, like, a
the
super
TED
popular...
Talk, the first TED Talk, and which gave me hope of possibilities and future, whatever. So that guy, then he was working with the Hollywood movies where they were doing sci-fi fiction, and they actually, the sci-fi movies, like not a kind of Harry Potter, maybe the future movies, they actually employ designers, product designers, industrial designers to come up with new concepts which they can put in the movies, like the 3D maps in Iron Man.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so again, like you say, like technology and creativity like merging together is the future.
Yeah, exactly. And on that topic, actually, there is a really nice abstract episode in season 2, abstract. I think the episode is, I forgot her name. She's from Israel.
Ooh,
she works with MIT Media Labs.
Oh.
And she had some background in also medical and things.
Mm-hmm.
But now she's creating different materials out of... not artificial, but from organic stuff, from milk and everything.
Oh.
But she has done quite a lot of different projects, like understanding bees, how they work with each other. They put bees in their lab, and then she took also the silkworms. They created a structure and they put silkworms on it, and they finished the structure.
Oh,
so basically, they made the whole silk thing on the structure. But yeah, what I was trying to tell is, like, what was the point? Shit.
We are trying to understand, like, how creativity and technology
come together. In that episode, they have this map about art, engineering, creativity and design and everything, and how they are linked. She has graphed it. I think I'll show you after this episode.
Yes.
If you haven't watched, you can also watch the abstract why, what, how episode where I explain what is the abstract series is all about. So in this episode of that that lady, woman... she has put like a graph where when art meets science, when science meets engineering, when engineering meets design, and then design again meets art. Because according to her, everything starts from art, like the ideas, like Leonardo used to sketch different things, like flying things and all.
Mm-hmm.
And then they used to go into science and applying physics on it and all.
Yes.
Then engineering is more about producing it in reality. And then designer's job is to make sense of the technology and use it in a context. And then it again evolves from art all over again, because then art reflects on whatever exists now.
Yeah.
And it interprets what could be, and then again science takes from there and goes into engineering, and it's like a cycle.
I mean, like, if you think about it, that's just like culture, like that is
culture
in general, like everything is connected.
Yeah, and she gave the example of Picasso and Einstein, because they meet at exactly 12 o'clock, like on the graph, where it's art and science meet each other.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah. That's a good episode.
I will check it out.
Yeah. So anything else you would like us to look, because I think you're well read. So you can suggest us something to look for, like maybe some website or something. It could be about anything, or watch something or something.
Okay. Okay. So I would there is this podcast called like 99% Invisible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a super. I like the podcast because, you know, they have this entire idea of like how like invisible things have such an important impact and how to understand those things. So I mean, like, that is a pretty fascinating podcast, and they definitely touch on all these small elements of like, you know, how like technology and how like the invisible technology behind it and everything. I mean, it is a pretty good podcast.
Interesting.
Yeah. Then wait, let me think about it. And then obviously like TED Radio R is great. And okay, wait, I will have to think about this.
Anything related to Harry Potter or something?
Podcast.
Could be anything. Could also be some website who interprets something, or like the companies you talked about.
Okay. So I don't remember any like specific channel in general. But like in general, if you go on like YouTube, there are a lot of video essays on how the Harry Potter movies were created, and then their sound design, and also so Wizarding World right now, they have they have like a series of videos with Meena Lima, and Meena Lima basically take you through the entire process on how they created, like right from the like the very first thing they created was the letter, so how they came up with
that's a very interesting
letter, and like now to the movies and everything. So
we should search for Meena Lima Harry Potter making
in the Wizarding
or something
World. Yes,
okay, cool.
Yeah,
that's a nice suggestion. So, I think that's all.
Yes.
Anything else you want to talk about?
I mean, I can go on for like hours. Right now, I can't think of anything else. Yeah.
So, maybe you can tell us where we can follow you, or what kind of work you do, or where we can see the stuff like Instagram and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, I have my illustrations on my Instagram handle, the Maniac67.
Link down below, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like super active on social media except for Reddit, but like, you do not give your Reddit credentials away. That's supposed to be private. But yeah, basically, you can follow me on Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. That being said, we are concluding the episode. The other thing I would really like to thank her for is for letting me take a refuge in her house.
Yeah, I was very happy to have you.
Yeah, and that's why you kept seeing this background in the videos. Like, I think this 6th or 7th video, or 5th or 6th video, where you're seeing this background. This is basically her wall where she has put a lot of stuff. There are also some calligraphy done by Sukhada. And I think somebody also somebody mentioned it, that yeah, I can see your creativity on the wall. So it was your creativity,
okay,
not mine.
Thank you. I mean, this is just like stuff to make me happy while I'm...
Yeah, and it was quite nice to be in the background in the video. So thank you for letting me use this house as a studio once again.
More than welcome.
As Paddy and me also discussed, that this podcast has a nature that it's always in somebody else's house and there's no fixed place. But that's
nomadic podcast.
Yeah, that's how it is. So thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And I will catch you in the next episode of anything, because we are running shows on the channel now. If you don't know, we have one show called Why, What, How, where we chop down why we watch something, what it exactly was and how it impacted life. Could be also app or book.
Yeah.
And then there is another series which just started called Futuring Now, where we are
very much excited for that one.
Because it's still not out when we are shooting this.
Yes.
So that series, it's basically about taking some design challenge and coming up with some futuristic ideas. It's like futuring, when you predict something or direct something. It's
super fascinating concept.
Yes.
I mean, I
hope that turns out to be well, because it's majorly anticipated thought in my head, and finally it's coming to life. So I'm a bit like excited and nervous about it, but I'm going to keep doing it, because the first episodes are not going to be well polished, but that I have to accept, because that's the pilot.
Yeah, but like, it's a super interesting concept.
Yeah,
definitely check it out.
Yes. And the third one is Music Journal, which I still have to shoot in today's time.
I did not know about that.
Yeah, so Music Journal is basically a music collaboration series where I'm going to somebody's place or some musician's studio or anything, and we're gonna come up with some track in day or two, and we're gonna also take the vibe of the place. So the first episode I'm gonna shoot mostly in Bologna next weekend. And then with William, I hope we make it, because our schedules are a bit messed up. But hopefully that will be out. And then we have a podcast, and there will be one more series. Not series, but videos which are beyond categories. That's the name of the playlist. Videos beyond categories.
You work a lot.
I just try to put like there are many thoughts. I just wanna make them a bit tangible, and videos is one way to do it. That's all. Don't forget to have fun. Having fun is not an option. And I'll catch you in the next one.
Bye-bye.
The Fun Indian Guy Podcast.